T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Jeremy White and Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
Have you seen the new hat trend? The upside down logo or wordmark? I decided to get in on it. I bought a Bison's hat with the Bison's logo upside down. It's the sliding Bison.
So he's like sliding on the ceiling.
Yeah, like I'm going to get in on this. Kind of like it. Makes you think a little bit.
What does it make you think? What's wrong with that guy's hat?
It's a little thing called style. Look it up sometime.
You'll stare at it more because you have to try to figure out what it is.
And as everybody knows, the thing you want is people to stare at your hat.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Meanwhile, no hat today.
No, not for me.
Any reason?
No.
Right.
I usually don't wear a hat.
Really?
If I wear a hat the morning of, like, I can't not wear a hat the rest of the day.
That's true.
If I'm wearing a hat, I've committed the whole day is going to be hat day.
Which sometimes
is fine.
Yeah, I'd like to see the analytics on percentage of hours of my waking life I have a hat on. It is north
for
of...
For me, I see you in a hat 95% of the time.
That is...
At least.
I am 95%. I was going to say, it's north of 95%. I wear a hat around the house.
Yeah.
I put the kids to bed. I'm wearing a hat.
That's insane.
Yeah, right. I wake up and I put one on.
The only time I've not seen you in a hat is if you're wearing some sort of jacket.
Yes, funeral
or suit,
wedding,
or, yeah,
event.
That's pretty much it.
A gala.
Like, have you ever worn a hoodie and no hat at the same time?
A hoodie without a hat? No, probably not.
Never.
No, I mean, if I'm wearing a jacket, like even a sports jacket, I'll try to find a hat that'll work with it.
Uh-huh.
My son yesterday...
Wait, with a sports jacket?
If I can make it work, I'll do it.
Wow.
There's no scenario I won't wear a hat
if I can. Has that ever gone your way?
No, not really.
Wait, sports coat, you want like a... I feel like Bulldog would have a hat.
He does. He's the kind of guy that can wear a hat with a sports coat, yeah.
But you don't... Like, those aren't baseball hats.
No, that's a hat like you're in a band. You play guitar
band
in a band.
Hat. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can try some band hats.
Yeah, I mean, I could mix it up. But yeah, at least 95% of my awake life hat. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Here we are.
He's wearing one right now.
I'm wearing one now.
You're wearing one right now.
If you come to our draft party on Thursday, you'll see me in a hat.
I will say, though, it's not like I'm really... I don't wear a hat in the morning, so I don't have to wear a hat the rest of the day. You know what does happen, though, then? The band of my headphones makes like an imprint in my hair. So I might be walking down the street later and going, what's going on with that guy's hair? How come this 6-inch area is like pressed down, but the rest of it is like poofing above it?
Yeah, you got the headphone strip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can relate. Anyway, good morning. What's up? How are you? Hey, Josh. Josh is here. Joe's here.
The weather's nice.
Weather is cold.
I don't know. There was frost on my windshield.
I saw snowflakes yesterday.
Maybe it was my feeling of just seeing the sun up at all when I now come into work.
I saw Patrick Hammer, our buddy, was tweeting over the weekend that, yes, it can snow when it's in the 40s.
Pat, shut it. Hey. No.
It did. I saw multiple flakes
no one needs to know that.
In my driveway. They didn't last very long, but... Yeah, I also decided that maybe we're a little late to the party on this, but the spring in general is the Sabres' full season.
Yeah.
You think it's nice for a day, and then it's not.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at this. Looks like, are we out of it? It's sunny. No, it's not. It's not nice anymore. You're going to lose a couple games.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. this weather is the worst ever. We'll never get out of it. Actually, it's sunny 2 days later.
Yeah.
That's the Sabre season. Never 2 days or 3 days you can count on, but occasional pockets of nice.
Yeah. Build some momentum until it's all vaporized. I went to the concert at the stadium on Saturday and had to wear 3 layers underneath a jacket.
Yeah, my wife went Friday and said it was unbelievably cold.
It was like a winter Bills game. It felt like a winter Bills game.
Yeah. Luke Combs, back-to-back shows at the stadium in the cold.
Yep.
April. I guess that's April, right? April and...
You choose to do a concert in Buffalo in April, and I think you're kind of signing up for that. They were really playing into the, like, multiple mentions of, everyone awake with this cold air out here? They didn't quite want to say, like, it was the Arctic, but they were thinking it while they were up there, no doubt. It was definitely cold.
Good show?
It was a very good show. Very good show. Yep.
Nice. Well, hopefully everybody had a good time at the stadium. Did you see steel work on the new stadium? Is that apparent when you're there?
It is very... The lower bowl is being filled in, like the structural part of the lower bowl. And
like,
it's...
Like, not quite seats, but the... I think they call it casting, where concrete's there.
If you looked quickly enough, you might not realize that there weren't seats there.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like part of the lower bowl is in there. Right, the seats are not, but it's the casting underneath. You could see, like, where the aisles are going to be that are in there as well. The not scaffolding, but whatever. Like, there's some of it that's like up in the air. There were lights on it when you walked out of the stadium at night, which was really cool. They had lights in the construction area. So yeah, it's starting to look like it. The mound of dirt when you pass the stadium is like 4 stories high, which is crazy. I appreciated the wow factor of explaining to everybody that the stadium's going to be taller than the light poles.
Yeah.
Because once you start seeing it built up, and then you look over to the right of the stadium and look up at the top of it, like, it just... No, I don't think anyone has any comprehension for how tall this thing's going to look.
Yeah, it's going to be massive.
It's going to be huge.
Well, very good. Very good.
What
did I do this weekend? Not a lot. Not too much.
Watch some golf.
Watch some golf. Watch some playoffs. Listen, what do we do? This is. By the way, it's draft week. We know it's draft week. The draft is on Thursday. We'll have plenty of draft, of course. But if we may, what on earth is a Sabres fan supposed to do with the unbelievable number of Buffalo Sabres gone by that participate and thrive in the playoffs? What are you supposed to do?
They're everywhere.
You can't watch any game without having to confront a former Sabre that was run out for whatever reason, or in the case of like Casey Mittelstadt just traded, or Evan Rodriguez. Jimmy Vesey scored.
Yeah.
Mittelstadt scored.
Uh-huh.
Vesey scored. Of course, Reinhardt scored early in that game.
Yeah.
What are you supposed
to... Did O'Reilly score last night? I didn't watch.
Who knows?
That game.
I feel like O'Reilly's
already... He did.
Okay.
I got in front of me. O'Reilly did score last night.
He's already definitely done the thing.
Yeah.
But when the Panthers win the cup, and I don't know how it would ever be arranged, but don't you feel like O'Reilly, Eichel, and Reinhardt should do a picture together?
Oh, my. Stop.
Come on. We have to at least embrace...
No, you know what they'll do? So Reinhardt's going to win the cup, and they're all going to go to like the NHL Awards together. They're going to have a picture where they all hold their rings out
yes.
in front of each other.
Yes.
And we're all going to lose.
At some point...
We're just going to decide to fold the team.
Something has to get so bad that you laugh at it. You know,
right.
Whether you're late for work and a train comes across the railroad cross, and you laugh. You're like, I can't even believe this is happening today. That is every day of a Sabres fan's life. Every single day, especially when you get to the postseason.
Yeah.
What happened in the Vancouver game? Which Sabres scored 3 goals? Did somebody score 3?
That was the game O'Reilly scored.
Okay, O'Reilly scored.
For Nashville.
Great.
Tyler Myers score on the other side? I'll look.
Did Zadorov get a Gordie Howe hat trick?
he had an assist, though. I'm
okay.
Right now.
Yep,
there's an assist.
It is... simultaneously hilarious, and I don't even know what the second part of that is. But it's unbelievable.
Well, I put together the list just looking like, how many really are there? You can fill up a whole lineup with guys that used to be Sabres in the playoffs.
Is goalie the toughest one to find? Did you get Ullmark? He didn't play in game one.
I guess Aaron Dell is the Kings backup right now, so...
Mittelstadt, Kane, Montour, Kulikov, Evan Rodriguez, Oposo, he was a healthy scratch.
Yep.
Reinhardt, O'Reilly, VZ, Sheary, McCabe, Zadorov, Myers, McNabb, Eichel, and William Carrier.
I forgot about Sheary. Yeah. Hudson Fashing. Did you mention him?
I did not mention Hudson Fashing.
He's on the Islanders. He didn't play yesterday. Braden McNabb, Colin Miller, Kulikov.
I mean, some of these guys, we don't exactly lament their time here, but still.
The thing I took away from it, though, was looking at the list of players and, like, this was basically Tim Murray's team.
Yeah.
This is, like, all the guys Murray brought in. How many guys that are in there right now that Botterill bring in? Just saying. Not to say that either one's that much better than the other, but.
Montour.
Montour he brought in.
VC, because VC was in here twice, right?
But Murray brought in VC first.
And didn't assign him.
But he didn't assign him. So who gets VC?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Botterill gets VC. Botterill gets Connor Sherry.
Okay. Yeah.
Botterill gets.
But like Murray gets Eichel, Reinhardt, Brandon Hagel in Tampa, he drafted, and then Botterill decided not to keep him.
Right.
He gets O'Reilly, he gets Rodriguez, he gets Evander Kane, he gets Mittelstadt. I think he drafted Mittelstadt, right? He gets Carrier. Right?
He gets,
I don't know how many of the defensemen he gets. Jake McCabe, maybe. Braden McNabb, although some of these guys he sent out. Just saying, like, you look at the team, it's like, this is the team Murray thought was going to be his team. And those are the guys that are mostly in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
And the guys that are mostly the contributors in the playoffs right now.
For Murray, it's like watching your own fantasy team, right? Who do I got going in the 10 o'clock game? Oh, yeah. Mittelstadt and, you know, whatever.
And O'Reilly's going at 10.
Yeah. It's like watching a fantasy team.
Right. Like, doesn't he feel like watching the playoffs and all of his guys have success other places? Like, they kept it together a little longer. Might have worked.
Maybe.
Like, my blueprint had it. Like, there were some things maybe that even he would say, like, I did terribly wrong. The blue line was horrible. Maybe there was coaching stuff, of course. But doesn't he watch the playoffs on a nightly basis and go, like, the group of players I brought in should have worked?
Yep. What are we supposed to do with it?
Nothing. We're not supposed to do anything with it.
I think I'm rooting for Florida. I think I'm rooting for Florida to win it.
You're rooting for Florida. Okay.
Yeah.
They're jerks, though, aren't they?
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm rooting for them. Don't they play? If you were to look at these playoffs and watch the way these teams play, I'm sure there's a case to be made for a couple other teams. Colorado, the way they play with speed. Winnipeg's got a great atmosphere right now, and their goalie's incredible. But isn't Florida the team you want to be and you want to play like?
Pretty much.
That's what a lot of teams do. By the way, Toronto plays like that, and Boston does too. But we don't want to give those two teams credit, and I don't want to root for Boston ever. So I think I'm rooting for Florida.
Well, Florida's what Adams talked about on Tuesday, wasn't it? Paul asked him about hard to play against, and the first thing he said was, well, you want to be, like, fast, right? Like, that's hard to play against. And sure, like, the stuff you're talking about, you know, the physical nature, like, Florida's got that combo to a T, do they not?
They do. And it also jumps out at me how Florida was built, because, you know, draft and develop. Every GM loves to draft and develop. Florida did, I mean, massive work to overhaul their roster. You know, Barkov, of course, is a draft pick, and so is Ekblad. But most of their big-time players are trades or free agents or cagey signings that are just smart. Like, Carter Verhaeghe is a signing, so like a nice signing for them. Reinhardt, of course, a trade. Kachuk, a trade. Montour, they got a third-round pick.
Do I know how many of their 27 players they drafted?
Is it like four?
Three.
Yeah.
They drafted three. They drafted Barkov, Lundell, and Ekblad. That's it. The rest of their team they've brought in from other places.
And not like we pick between different champions and banners and which matter the most, but, you know, if you're a team like I thought the Sabres would be, like the Penguins have been, hey, we got the entire backbone of our team through four lotteries,
yeah.
Then I have less respect for how that's done. It's ironic because that's how I wanted the Sabres to build, because it seems like the only way forward sometimes. But here's Florida where, yeah, they've done work, roster surgery again and again and again to get something that they think is perfect. And I got a lot of respect for it. So I think I'm rooting for Florida, even though they play that Panther roar way too much. And by the way, if you watched that game yesterday, nice to have 12:30 hockey on a Sunday.
Yeah.
The anthem singer in Florida. Did you catch that, Josh?
No, I missed this.
No?
What was it? Was it good or bad?
It was not good.
Not good?
It was not.
You never bring up the anthem singer if it was a good performance.
Unless it's Whitney Houston Changes Your Life in 3 minutes.
Otherwise, you bring it up, it's probably terrible.
Yeah.
Like, who at the NBA was really bad? Carl Lewis. Carl Lewis.
Yeah.
That's a famous one
a
that was
very
really
famous
bad.
One. This woman in Florida was off pitch. Let's just say that.
Okay.
It sounded like she could sing, but she did not have her best day.
Okay.
Is maybe how you would say it. Check it out during the break. I'm sure you'll see a lot of reaction if you go look for that.
I've already searched Panthers Anthem, and there's a few videos.
It was it's one of those ones where you're home doing stuff during the anthem, you're about to go sit down, and you have to turn and look at the TV like, what's happening over there? Is this happening with this anthem?
Yeah.
So anyway, all these former Sabres. It is absolutely wild. Mittelstadt for Conn Smythe, Reinhardt for Conn Smythe. Who do we want? Eichel didn't win the Conn Smythe. He might as well have.
Mm-hmm.
If you watched any of their series last year, I mean, might as well. Finished second.
Can we bet on odds that a Sabre will win the Conn Smythe?
Evan Rodriguez, Sabre. You want him for the Conn Smythe?
Is Reinhardt like root four to win the cup?
Yes.
I don't root against him to not win the cup.
I am. That's a big part of why, you know, watching him score that goal and how good he is in front of the net. And he scored 57 this year, of course. I mean, a lot on the power play, but that's a guy who the Sabres drafted number 2 overall, and, you know, how was he here? He was good. We knew he was good.
Yeah.
We never got to see him on this level because I guess he was never insulated on this level.
Yeah.
But, man, he's so good in front of the net, and he does everything for them. He's great. He's great. Seeing him, it was also funny, like, seeing him on the bench for Florida, it's like watching kids grow up or looking back in your old high school yearbook. I remember what that kid looked like. He was so young when he was here, and here he is like a full-grown hockey player scoring goals in the playoffs and making big plays. It's impressive.
That's how I kind of felt about Mittelstadt last night. I had the end of that Avalanche Jets game on at the end, and they were down 2, I think. They were down 7-5 with like 3 minutes left, and Colorado's pulled the goalie face off in the zone, and they've got the goalie pulled down 2. And their 6 players includes Mittelstadt. Like, he's at the point between Makar and MacKinnon. And for some reason, I'm just nervous watching him. Especially when, after one of the whistles, there's a reputation out there for Nathan MacKinnon that he's like got this Jordan-esque competitiveness, like practice stuff, yells at teammates if he sees them eating something they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
He's just in Mittelstadt's face before one face-off. And I'm watching it like, I'm like nervous for Mittelstadt. Like, this dude is going to rip into you if you don't do what you're supposed to. And then he scored. Mittelstadt did. I'm like, oh, like breath of fresh, like just gasp out. Like, good for you. This guy's not going to rip into you again after the game.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing something right because you probably have MacKinnon's goodwill now.
It is funny how Mittelstadt goes and gets traded and he's the extra attacker, or at least he's out there.
He was out there as the extra attacker, yeah.
So you've got one Sabre that was traded as the extra attacker for Colorado, and the other, Kyle Okposo, all due respect, healthy scratch.
Right. Like, and has been for almost the whole time he's been in Florida.
Yeah. And he went to a much better team.
Yep.
It's wild. Yeah. It's at this point, though, honestly, I don't bring this up as if we should all bask in misery about really any of it, because I think we all kind of know what happened and how it all went down. It's been talked about a million different times, and the Sabres have to find their way through it and find their way forward. The coaching search, the rumors are the same names that they were before, right? We haven't added any name to the Sabres coaching search. Seems like it's Lindy Ruff, Craig Berube, and Gerard Gallant. I think those are the 3, if you want to include Bruce Boudreau. I haven't really seen much other than mentions of him like that, but I get the impression that if I were to bet, I think I'd bet on Craig Berube. I think I would.
You would bet on him over anyone else to be their coach?
I think I would, yeah.
Hmm.
If he wants it, I bet he gets it. Lindy, you know, Lindy's an idea. The Lindy idea is strange because if this were another organization, Lindy would be a reasonable candidate to be a head coach. He's, of course, older and just coming off a little bit of a rough time in New Jersey.
We keep mentioning Boudreau. Lindy's 5 years younger than Bruce Boudreau is. So he's definitely not young. Yeah. He's 64.
And I have no idea how old Craig Berube is. 58, okay.
58, so he's a little younger than that even.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it? Like, part of me thinks, though, Lindy's not like a hot candidate that I'm going to lose out on if I wait. Like, if Adams said, just to make sure, I want to wait to see that Brind'Amour's not going to leave Carolina, and he waits a month for that to happen. Like, I don't know, I feel like I'd be surprised if Lindy wasn't still out there available for them. I feel like he can be their fallback for any of these. And maybe that's not fair to him, but it's kind of how I'm treating it, that he's not going to be a hot name out on the market. And if they wanted to wait for Brind'Amour, they wanted to push all in for Berube, and they don't get their guy, then, okay, I've already described this pedigree, you know, NHL coach experience guy that I'm going to bring in. Like, the worst I can do is just bring Lindy back, and that will be sellable. It might even be the most fan favorite idea that there is. I can sell that.
Yep.
While going out and getting other, you know, other names out there. Berube, I read about over the weekend that he is intent on, like, he just wants to live closer to Philadelphia, which I guess is where his family's at. Like, St. Louis was tough, I guess, for that, and Philly's not going to become available, but whatever the closest he can get to Philadelphia is.
Is this close to Philadelphia?
Sure.
I mean,
right?
You're not going to get the Rangers or the Islanders or the Caps. Those are closer.
Right.
And the Penguins, maybe, could be available. But it feels like if they were going to fire Mike Sullivan, they would have done it by now.
Right. So this might be about as close as he can get.
Yeah. It's not that far.
Ottawa? Ottawa's further, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe just about the same.
Yeah.
But what? It's an hour flight?
Yeah. So I think that's a realistic, I think it's a really realistic idea.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll see who scores tonight. Former Sabres in the NHL playoffs.
Should we draft them? former Sabre fantasy hockey in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Tonight would be what? Eichel?
Yeah, tonight's Vegas tonight. Eichel and Carrier.
Fashing will kick a goal in, of course.
That's right.
Jake McCabe for the Maple Leafs.
Well, the Leafs, I mean, they got hammered in the opener.
Yep.
Pressure's on.
I had a Bruins fan sitting behind me during the concert on Saturday, and I got to talking to him a little bit. It was during game one. Like, you went to the concert instead of game one? He's like, it's the Leafs. Like, they've never lost this series. Sure enough, it was like 4-0 at the time we were having this conversation. Like, they will never lose to Toronto in the playoffs as long as I live. They might get close and they'll lose in heartbreaking fashion, because we know them to do that. But the Leafs will never win that series.
Well, if they get through, they get Florida. And that's one of those, you know, good luck.
Yep.
Good luck. The Leafs keep banging their head about the same spot. Sabres keep banging their head about the same spot. Both teams would, of course, love to break through. So, anyway, we'll keep you updated on the coach search and all that, and focus in on draft week. We're going to talk to Brian Koziol coming up in a moment, because we had a plan to have him on if Scottie Scheffler won. And Scottie Scheffler has not yet won because they had to suspend play at the RBC Heritage due to thunderstorms. But Scottie Scheffler is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that works.
He's going
to win. What do they do? Like, hey, wake up and go play 3 holes of golf so we can all get out of here.
With a 4-shot lead?
Yeah.
Also, they couldn't have just called it?
It seems like...
If it were a baseball game, they would have called the result, right?
Right.
It would have counted.
It seems like the other golfers should say, hey, you know what, it's fine. Like, just go ahead and end it here. He's not going to blow a 4-stroke lead with 3 to play.
Right, could Wyndham Clark, Patrick Cantlay, and JT Poston, who are all in second place, 5 shots back...
They all have to stay?
Like, can you guys just give it to him?
Yeah.
Like, I got to get to... A lot of these guys fly around the country, right, tournament to tournament to tournament. Like, it probably interrupts their travel plans in a huge way to play. Again, some of these guys, Cantlay, Poston, and Oberg we're doing, right? It's Oberg?
I think it's Oberg.
They have 1 hole left. You're going to make me push all my travel plans back one day to play 1 hole of golf down 5?
Yeah.
That just seems totally insane.
Yep. Sal joins us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk draft stuff, see what we're all feeling. ProFootballTalk.com lists the Chiefs and the Bills as the two most likely landing spots for Xavier Worthy. That is based on betting odds, which, you know, the Bills and the Chiefs are two teams that would probably want an explosive playmaker, and he'd be in that neighborhood, so that makes sense. The Texas speedster Xavier Worthy. We'll also, of course, talk about Ayuk and the latest on him. There's a story at ProFootballTalk.com about whether or not they'll trade him. The Patriots are looking for an unprecedented deal at number 3. Okay. They want out. Hmm. They don't think they're ready for the quarterback.
Is it unprecedented to trade down 25 spots with your division rival?
Probably.
It's probably unprecedented.
I've been trying to find the biggest trade in round one history, and I think it is. The biggest move up, I think it is Atlanta for Julio Jones. Teams don't move up 20 spots.
Right.
Just never happens. If you move into the first round from the second, you're not moving anywhere higher than like 17, 18. And
that's what Kansas City did, right, for Mahomes?
Right. It was 17 spots, yeah. 27 to 10. So if the Bills went from 28 to 9, it would just barely clip that. And again, biggest moves for quarterback, biggest moves for another player, another position player. And it's tough to find teams that move as much as the Bills would have to if they're going to do this. I also spent a lot of time thinking about the trade-up idea. I am ready for it. Ready for it. Ready to push all the way in on it. Or just get, you know, Xavier Legette. Anyway, it's draft week. I'm looking at the wide receiver big board.
They're all still on there.
Yeah, they are. And I have two more names. I have Troy Franklin and Jalen Polk. I have to go get them. But put them on this board. And the whole idea behind this wide receiver big board we have in here is those peel off and stick back on. So we can, you know, we can change our mind. We can decide that Devontae Walker is a riser on a Tuesday before the draft if we want to. So we'll get to all of it. Salad 8, Brian Cozio when we return on the context of Scottie Scheffler, because what he's doing is it's bringing about two very important or very relevant words, or at least one name, I should say, in the golf world. When is it okay to start talking about Scheffler like he is you-know-who? Jeremy and Joe, Josh producing, good Monday morning. Join us if you'd like. We've got draft talk and, you know, plenty else going on here with the Sabres coaching search and the NHL playoffs underway as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What a shot.
The second shot was incredible over the flag, but I didn't think he had this.
I mean,
it's such a tough shot.
Ho-hum.
Scottie Scheffler cruising at the RBC Heritage at Harbortown. I have played Harbortown.
On the simulator or
no,
real life?
No, real life.
I don't know whether to trust you anymore with any of this.
Yeah.
Because of the take that he threw. Get Brian on. Brian, can you ever say that the best shot of your golf life came on a simulator?
I mean,
you want to ask how good it was. I know you do.
Can I get details before I fully answer this question?
Well, I was just kidding around that I said I might have hit the best shot of my life this weekend. Yes, it was on a simulator, but it was a heck of a shot. You know,
you wouldn't say you have a hole in one if you got a hole in one on a simulator.
No. This was I don't know which hole it was at Valhalla. The PGA Championship's going to be at Valhalla, and the simulator has Valhalla, so I'm getting to know the course. Anyway, it was a nice shot. I was happy about it.
I think if you have a hole in one on a simulator, I think you can say that you had a hole in one on a simulator. That might be your best shot ever.
Yeah.
On a simulator, but not, I don't think you can say it in real life.
No, probably not. Brian, the RBC and Scottie Scheffler, you know, we'll get to your thoughts on the Sabres coaching search in a moment, but I wanted to get you on to talk about Scheffler because he didn't win yet. He looks like he will. And between the players and the Masters, and next is the PGA, I think the golf world is asking the question, at what point is it okay to say he's starting to play like Tiger Woods? I mean, of course, like, the golf world is always hungry for the next Tiger, but Scheffler is the best by a lot right now, on the men's side at least.
I think at least for one season, it's fair to say, obviously career-wise, we're still nowhere near that. But I think if you said, hey, a golf season, what is approaching what Tiger did in the early 2000s, I think we could probably look at what Scheffler has done so far this year. I mean, it has been an incredible start. I mean, just as you mentioned, he's three holes away with a 5-shot lead of winning again this week when they pick up this morning at 8 o'clock. And he will have then won 4 of his last 5 tournaments, with the one that he didn't win being a tie for second. And he had a putt on the 18th hole that I would consider, you know, decently makeable, that would have put him into a playoff. And he could have really, obviously, if that putt goes in, he goes on to win the playoffs. He could have been this morning maybe going for 5 consecutive wins. And that definitely puts you in Tiger category in terms of how you, you know, have played for a season. Even some of the other tournaments that you, if we go back to January and into February, I mean, you know, go back after this 5 streak here where he's, you know, 1-4-5. Before that, a tied for 10th at the Genesis, a tied for 3rd, a tied for 6th. And he won the Hero World Challenge if you wrap back to December. So, I mean, there is almost virtually, he has one performance this season outside of the top 10.
Yeah.
Everything else is very, very, you know, strong in terms of maybe having a chance to win. Other than that one, he's got a top 10, and then everything else is tied for 6th or better. So, I mean, statistically, he's incredible in terms of what he's doing. And I think it is fair just to at least compare this season to what Tiger used to do when he dominated golf.
Yeah, we have stats like strokes gained and, you know, relative to the field. I know that relative to the field in the last, like, 5 events, if you played what the field played at, the average, he is 66 under that in those 5 tournaments. So he's just been absolutely incredible. One of the big questions, Brian, is Tiger never had to do this or whatever. He didn't get a fractured field, which is what Scheffler's dealing with, right? The PGA Tour has lost a big number of its best players. So it's not like he's beating Rahm every week or DeChambeau. Not that DeChambeau's one of the best, but you know, you know what I'm saying. Like, if you're looking for asterisks or looking for anything like that, Scheffler does have a significantly weaker field. I feel like the counter argument is, yeah, but when the field comes together, he's still great there too.
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, we can go right back to the Masters last week where everybody did come back together and he still rose to the top. Even last week, though, if you look at the Masters, I mean, all the guys that were in contention were all PGA Tour players. I guess you could say minus DeChambeau, who kind of faded at the end. So at these elevated events, I still think, like, giving him respect to saying he's beating a quality field is fair. It definitely is not maybe as strong as it could be, because there are some players that we know are playing on the LIV Tour that could be giving him some challenging right now. And probably, I would say, the easiest name to throw out there is Jon Rahm. I think, you know, if you want to say, well, all those European players, the old Ryder Cup guys that we all love to root against, like, you know, they weren't going to contend anyway at this age. Phil Mickelson's not. But I think if you look what Rahm did last year and what he still is capable of, I think that's a very, very fair argument. Koepka, clearly, for sure. Dustin Johnson, probably, although we haven't seen a lot of good golf out of him lately. I mean, there's at least for sure 3 major names that I think you could throw in there that would be giving him some competition. But still, you know, from what he's doing, I'm super impressed. And it's definitely the best performance we've seen in over a decade, for sure, going back to those Tiger years.
The thing that makes you, you know, be cautious about any Tiger comparison, Brian, is we've kind of done it before, right? Like when Rory won multiple majors in a year, Spieth did the same thing. Maybe there's even another one, maybe Koepka too for this. But I feel like I remember it more for Spieth and for Rory. Was like, okay, this is it. They're young. They've won multiple majors. Both, I think, did it in the same year. And if Scheffler does that, like, is he having such a good year around the majors that it's even ascended beyond what those two would have done? What that might be a decade ago?
I think so. I think that's probably where it goes to. And I think, Jeremy, your other point was correct, too. We're more aware and inundated now with more statistical numbers where we start to compare, like, you know, how is he doing? Like you said, strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained approach, and he continues to dominate in all of those. And even, you know, I guess I would say go back earlier in the year when he had some of these quote weaker finishes, the tied for 6th, the tied for 3rd, and when his putting was so poor, and now that's obviously turned around. He's gotten it straightened out. I think the Spieth McIlroy thing is definitely fair, and maybe, you know, we should have a little hesitation because we are always looking for the next Tiger, and, you know, having a dominating player kind of makes it fun to watch for, to see what he can do. Spieth and McIlroy won those majors at such a young age. I think that we were thinking, like, well, you know, we know golf can be a sport that you can play well into your 40s if you kind of keep yourself in good playing condition, which is why at the time, I think saying it about Spieth and saying about McIlroy was really fair to do. And now look at, you know, kind of the major slumps that these players are on, especially Rory, who's sitting there, we know, going on now a decade here without winning one. So I think it's fair to maybe be a little bit hesitant. It's probably just the current bias that we're in right now. Maybe, you know, it still goes back to we should just be probably reflecting and appreciating just how good Tiger was at the time, because we're always trying to, can we line up anything with Tiger at any point? And then we're always that hesitancy. And then you look at, well, what did he do? It wasn't just one season. He did it for 15 seasons. You know, that's when we really can appreciate how good Tiger really was.
Brian Koziol, one of our hosts of Tee to Green on the weekends, he's focusing on that now that Sabre season has ended, and you've got your evenings back, Brian. Of course, we're waiting on a Sabres head coach decision. Do you have a favorite candidate, a favorite idea, whether that's Lindy or Craig Berube or Gerard Gallant, as the Sabres look to find the right message in the room to become a team that's playing, you know, this weekend?
I think the Lindy Ruff piece is interesting. I feel like I don't want to feel like just because he had success here before that all of a sudden it's going to happen again. I did think that he did get the short end of the stick in New Jersey. His goaltending this year, it was terrible. It was AHL level like, and the Devils had a lot of injuries, including to some of their better star younger players, and they got rid of him pretty quickly. And it didn't change really when Travis Green took over. I mean, the Devils kind of just hovered right around where the Sabres were in the standings. It's not like all of a sudden the coaching change improved things, which a lot of times in the NHL, when you see the coach, when you see a coaching change, you do have that immediate kind of bump. Now, usually sometimes it does fade, but usually for the first month or so, it does bump. And the Devils kind of were just stagnant pretty much where Lindy was at the same time. I'm not saying that the Devils weren't disappointed compared to what they did last year, that they wouldn't have thought to make a change, but I just thought with the circumstances that they had that maybe he deserved a little bit more wiggle room in New Jersey. So, you know, with that being said, him becoming available, I wouldn't be against Lindy Ruff. I don't, whether it's fair or not, I start to think about, you know, bringing back old coaches and other things that we've done in the past with other teams and how that really hasn't worked out, whether it was Marv Levy as a GM. I know that's not really a fair comparison, but you think about, well, we'll bring back the nostalgic of peace and age of old times when he was so great. I think one thing that we all heard from the players is accountability is what they keep coming out very strongly to say. I mean, I think for as little negative as you ever heard about Don Granato from the players, that was one thing that I thought I took away from locker cleanout, was that they all were saying essentially that they need more accountability, which I guess in some sense is a negative shot at Don Granato. Those names that you mentioned, I think all have that. I'm wondering if Rod Brind'Amour is curious to me just because of his relationship with Kevin Adams. And he definitely seems to have a Carolina team that can kind of play with that passion and with that energy that the Sabres did not have on a consistent basis. So I'm curious to see how long does Carolina last in the playoffs, and does maybe Kevin Adams have the patience to wait for him? I guess that would be the name at the top of my list that I'm most intrigued about.
Brian, where are you guys for Tee to Green this week?
We're at the Westerner PGA offices, which is at Glen Oak Golf Course in East Amherst. And we're actually going to be talking with Jason Ballard, the PGA pro from Oak Hill in Rochester. Little reflection on with the PGA championship coming up about what happened with him last week. And just, you know, what it's like to maybe be a pro at a high level course like at Oak Hill. And like, you know, what are kind of some of the things that go with being there? So we're going to talk with him. Obviously, we'll talk more about Scottie Scheffler and get our normal tip of the week and all that good stuff, but that's where we'll be this week.
If I'm not mistaken, too, there still is one empty spot on the future PGA Championship schedule, right? Like it's Valhalla, Quail Hollow. If we go out to, what year is it, 2030 something, there's one spot that's open, and I wonder if Oak Hill can get back in there somewhere.
I think that usually during the PGA Championship week, which is in mid-May this year, they do make an announcement about future tournaments. I think you're right.
Yeah, they're going to Kiawa in 2031. And
32 and 33 are open.
They
right?
are open, yep, yeah. Yep. So maybe we get news on that this week, and you know, we could put Oak Hill back on the schedule.
Yeah, it's been every 10 years. They hosted it in 03, in 13, and in 23. So if they stay with that rotation, 2033 would be the spot to put it. And, you know, I think with every single time you see a weather delay, including this morning, any sort of arguments of worrying about the weather in Rochester, I just think is not really warranted. The only real issue, you know, they had a little cold to start, but it got back on track. And we had rain on Saturday, but everybody played through it, and the course handle is fine. You can have rain anywhere at any point. So I think the weather held up fine. We know, of course, the support and the success of the tournament elsewhere went fine. So, yeah, I would be very, very disappointed if 2033 didn't get locked into Oak Hill. And hopefully maybe we'll find out here in a week or two when they get close to the PGA for this year.
Very good. Thanks, Brian.
Okay, guys, thanks. Have a great morning.
You too. Brian Koziel on some golf and, of course, the Sabres coaching search, which is ongoing. Coach Watch. We'll keep things locked and let you know what we hear. NHL playoffs underway. It is draft week. Stat of the day when we get back is a great opportunity to take a shot at the New York Jets if you're just in the mood for that. It's a great stat of the day that we have come across. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 to join us as we start the countdown towards Thursday night and the first round, which we'll carry, of course, here on WGR.
I still have it. Shot save. Hellebuck, one more. Rebound. Middlestad. Gets in! Casey Middlestad. His first career playoff goal and his first career playoff game, either him or Lehkonen. And I believe it is Casey at bat who makes it a one-goal game with 27.1 to go.
Casey Middlestad, his first career playoff goal. Colorado falls 7-6. Give you a stat of the day and then want to talk about 7-6. So stat of the day brought to you by a tweet from The Athletic. The Winnipeg Jets scored 7 in this game. They've scored 7 in a playoff game. The Winnipeg Jets have twice in the last 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Jets have not scored 7 points in a playoff game at any point in the last 13 years. Winnipeg twice, New York 0.
Stat of the day brought to you by Seneca Gaming in Irving, home of the biggest bingo payouts and slot machines with thousands one daily. That's because the Jets have never played in the playoffs in 13 years.
That's right.
The
other stat from this game is 7-6. It's the first 7-6 playoff game since
Sabres and Senators.
Everybody remembers that one.
Yep. It's incredible night.
Best game ever. It was I'll tell you this.
It's pretty good.
Sabres Senators 7-6 was a better game than this 7-6 last night. Because Sabres-Senators, it never got to be a two-goal game.
Right.
The Sabres trailed 2-1, 3-2, 4-3, 5-4, and 6-5.
Right. The difference was the chaos, and this makes it better. The Sabres-Senator chaos was at the end, right? It was goal, 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 like in the last 2 minutes, and then like 20 seconds into overtime, versus this game was at the beginning. Like 3-3... 6 goals in the first period, 4 goals in like the span of 2 minutes between the two teams. Like, this game was crazy out of the start. Supplementary stat of the day. So far through 3 days, the NHL and NBA playoffs, home teams are 14-0.
That's pretty good.
No road team in either playoffs has won yet.
That's wild. That means the playoffs haven't started. That's what you say. Series right. starts when a road team wins.
Right, so the playoffs in general haven't started, right?
Yeah, last night Winnipeg built a 6-3 lead and held on 7-6. And, you know, Sabres-Sens, what a game. Tim Connolly at his finest.
Yep.
Derek Roy had an amazing game in that one, too.
That, I believe, is the record. Like, I remember that game for how good Connolly was. And I think, we'll double check this, I think Roy has the record in that game for most points in a playoff game for a Sabre. I think he had 6 points that night.
Ooh.
That maybe 5?
That seems high.
Let me look. I thought he had the record, though, looking back from that game. He at least had more than Connolly.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It was an incredible game.
Yeah.
7-6.
Let's see. 7-6. Okay, yeah. Roy in that game. This is game 1, May 5th, 2006. Roy had 5 points. He had 2 goals and 3 assists. Connolly had 3 points on his own.
It is funny that Connolly gets remembered because, I mean, whatever. Like, his goals were freakishly good, and he gets the one to tie it at the end of regulation, too. So, big part of it. And then Drury to win, 7-6.
Drury to win on, like, man, Emery let some soft ones in.
Oh,
that,
for sure.
That night.
For sure. The Sabres, they won that series because of that. There were some...
Yeah.
There were some softies or whatever. They were able to get him moving, and they kept getting it by him. 7-6.
That is the record, by the way. 5 points in a playoff game. Tied with John Tucker from the 80s, so Roy has the record.
Very good. It is draft week. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. We'll come back and really dig into some Bills chatter and stuff in the draft. The price to move to number three, New England might want to get out of that spot, and the offers might be coming in. So we'll see what happens there. And, you know, what happened over the weekend? The buzz, the scuttlebutt, whatever you want to say, on the draft. Sal joins us at 8, counting down 4 days until round one of the draft. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.